I will hang, burn, waste, boil, flay, strangle, and bury alive these infamous heretics. Rip up the stomachs and wombs of their women and dash their infants' heads against the walls. How Christian. Anyway, Ann, you still with us there from Texas?
Yeah, I was going to say that Zachary Highway Company in Texas formed two companies with Finta to do this. So this was in the bag a long time ago. Do you know any more about that, Ms. Phelps?
No, I don't, ma'am, but I do know that that is the major purpose for the highway is for troop movement, even as Hitler built the Autobahn for troop movement.
Uh-huh.
And so when we have our Sino-Soviet Muslim invasion sometime in the future after this crusade, they will be using that highway from Mexico all the way through the country into Canada to consolidate their power.
Yeah. Split it. Mm-hmm. Each side. Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you,
ma'am. It'll be good for the police state. Thanks, Anne, for your call. Yeah, the old police state. Here we go again. History is going to repeat itself. It's already repeating itself, isn't it?
Right, because the men of power are merely doing the same thing that worked successfully for them in the past. For example, you know, you read the oath there about taking the babies' heads and smashing them against the walls. This is exactly what the Einsatzgruppen did to the Jews in Russia.
Yeah.
If you read Heinz Honig's work, The Order of the Death's Head, that's exactly what they did. And if you read about ripping up the women's wombs while they're pregnant, that's exactly what the Croatian Ustashi did to the Serbs. So it all goes back to this oath and their absolute hatred for not only heretics, but for liberals, too, and this includes Roman Catholics. Any Roman Catholic who believes in limited power, who believes in national sovereignty, who's a real nationalist, they are an enemy of the Jesuit order, and I have at least 10 significant Roman Catholic leaders in Europe that have been deliberately poisoned or killed by the Jesuit order for this reason.
Well, wasn't it the Contras, which, of course, got CIA support as well?
Yes, Contras were supported by CIA, and the Sandinistas were also supported indirectly by the Jesuits, in that I have a picture of Daniel Ortega embracing Cardinal O'Connor. So the Contras were to be set up to be betrayed, just as the patriotic Roman Catholic Cubans were set up to be betrayed in the Bay of Pigs fiasco. They enthroned communism with Ortega and with Castro and betrayed the true patriots of the nation who really wanted to resist them.
You know, I remember, was it back in 1992, cover of Time magazine talked about the Pope conspiring with Reagan to bring down communism. Remember that article?
Right.
And it actually quoted a White House spokesperson saying that we were impressed, he said, to see the network, underground network that the Vatican had. It's far superior to anything we have here with our CIA and, you know, on and on. And then a Vatican spokesperson responded to that comment by saying, well, of course, we've had a lot more experience at doing
well,
things
like this.
Well,
he was
like
honest. He was still honest.
We got another caller.
Okay.
Oh, yeah? Go ahead.
We also have to remember that the Jesuits controlled the Cold War in that they controlled both Moscow and Washington and the Vatican all at the same time and coordinated everything together. I show in my book the connection between the CIA, the KGB, the connection between the CIA, the German BND, the East German Stasi, the SSD, and the KGB. They were all working together for specific purposes until the end of the Cold War to begin their crusade against Islam. So
people who might say, well, wait a minute, how could the CIA be supporting the Contras if the opposition was supported? Well, the truth is the CIA, first of all, was supporting the Contras and the Sandinistas.
Sure, sure. And the Jesuits were very open advocates of the Sandinistas at the time. We have to remember the Vatican has an open policy. Their open policy, like the CIA, is its false policy.
Right.
Its secret policy is secret, and that's its true policy, and that's what they don't want us to know.
And this is the game they play. They support both competing sides so that it doesn't matter who wins in the end. They win.
That's right.
It's like our last debate, 2004. It doesn't matter. Bush, Kerry, take your pick.
That's right. They're both skull and bones, both working for the order, and both will do exactly as they're told, or they know what's going to happen to them, just exactly what happened to John F. Kennedy Jr.
Exactly. Bob in D.C., stick with us. We'll take your call right after the break.
I'm message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
All right, guys, welcome back to True Threats Radio. Your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got our guest, Eric John Phelps, talking about the corrupt and incredibly evil Jesuit order. We have Bob from D.C. on the line. Bob, you with us?
Yeah, hi, Charles. I have a few questions for your guest.
Sure.
Oh, okay. Eric, have you heard of, I'm sure you have, but I'm asking, Most Holy Family Monastery?
No, I haven't, sir.
You haven't?
No.
That is very interesting. These are a set of Adventists who they are in total opposition to the heretical popes since Pope John the 23rd. And their website, let me just give it to you, is just like it sounds, Most Holy Family Monastery.
You're talking post-Vatican II?
Yeah, well, no. It's actually October 1950 on to the 1958. To the present,
that from John,
these have been heretical popes, and before that time, there was flux within the Roman Catholic Church between the good forces and the evil forces. Since that time, the Catholic Church has been totally taken over by evil, and yes, it has to do with Vatican II, but it actually precedes that to Pope John the 23rd, who was the one who initiated.
Except the current guy, though, Benedict. He's a really nice guy. Just look at him.
Well, now, yeah, let me
scary
just tell,
dude.
Eric, just for your information, it's brothers Peter and Michael Diamond, D-I-M-O-N-D. If you simply do a Google on them, you'll find it.
Okay. Well, thanks, sir.
And it's a very good one, and I want to get your email later, too. The second thing I wanted to ask you is Richard John Newhouse. What do you know of him?
I have read some of his works, but I'm pretty sure that he is very much connected to the Jesuit order. But I would have to read his works and see his associations.
Okay, well, his works are located at firstthings.com.
First Things?
First Things. And if you could just do a Google on Richard John Newhouse. That's N-E-U-H-A-U-S. And okay. You will find it. He is a personal friend. He was a personal friend of Pope John Paul II, and he is a friend of Benedict XVI. He is the foremost Roman Catholic intellectual in the United States and possibly the world.
Oh, I see.
He was born in Simcoe, Ontario. He has two brothers who were in the special forces during the Vietnam era. He was a Lutheran pastor until 1990, and then he converted to Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
So you will find that very interesting.
Yes, indeed. You know, the Lutherans are totally controlled by the Jesuits, by high-level Freemasons.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Elements are. I don't think all of them are. They have one broadcaster on this RBN network, which, as an aside, folks, anyone who's listening out there, this is a very important network, and it does need to be supported. And so, Mark Dankoff has the morning show here on RBN, and I doubt seriously that he has anything or any control strings leading up to the Jesuits. But that doesn't mean that the hierarchy doesn't. And there are different synods in the Lutheran Church. There's
right.
The Missouri Synod, the American Synod, which is much liberal, much more liberal, mm-hmm. and there are a few others that I may or may not be aware of. I'd have to look.
Mm-hmm.
But the last thing, Eric, is what was there before the Jesuits? Now, the Jesuits came about in the 15th century or so. Just what was their organization before they were constituted as the Jesuits?
Well, we can go to the Spanish Alumbrados because, of course, Loyola was a member of that Spanish Illuminati before he created the Jesuit order. But the most powerful order, I believe, before the Jesuits was the Dominican because they controlled the Inquisition. And the Dominican general was a very, very powerful individual, but there was not a unity within the papacy as is now with the Jesuit order controlling the papacy and all the orders. So the purpose of the Jesuit order was to get back the power of the papacy, to solidify its power, to centralize all power in the Pope, as it did in 1870 with the doctrine of papal infallibility in Vatican I, and then that the black pope would control the entire hierarchy through the white pope, who has been given all power.
They originated the Inquisition, right, the Jesuits?
No, the Dominicans did. It was started by Innocent III in like 1215 or so. And it raged for some time.
Mm-hmm. Eric, what was there then before the Dominicans?
There were some orders prior to that. You had the Augustinians, and I believe the Franciscans had been created before the Dominicans.
Oh, yes, they had been, but I'm fairly certain that they weren't as it wasn't an inquisitional type thing.
Well,
my point is that I agree with you that this is a great power, but I also have to give some credence to Mike Piper's thesis that the evil Judaic faction goes back about 2,500 years, whereas this faction is less than 500, and then if you extend it back to the Dominicans, let's say 800 years. So there is a symbiosis, and I think they're so closely attached that you really can't look at one without looking at the other. And I hate to grade
that's true.
One
yeah,
above the other.
Regardless who came first, that's not the point. I mean, all these forces are evil, and they're working in tandem.
Yeah. Right.
But my point
what
is
I'm saying is that I don't think there's a definite hierarchy, like one side tells the other what to do. I think they're the same.
No. Yeah. No, there is a hierarchy because we know according to the book of Luke 21:24-27, that the Lord Jesus Christ said in his word there that Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And so we know that we have had Gentile rule over Jerusalem since 70 AD, and thus Gentiles continue to rule the world. However, I am not negating the fact at all that there are powerful high-level Jews aiding and helping these high-level Gentiles who rule the papacy in administering this world government. And I would not take away from that conclusion one bit, but I'm saying that they are subordinate to the Jesuit Gentile order.
I don't know. You know, you have to understand that Christ also said of these people that go back 2,500 years, ye are of your father Satan. And I can't think of anything of more a controlling element of evil than Satan himself.
Well, we know in John 8:44 when he said, ye are of your father the devil, the lust of your father you will do, he was referring to their spiritual father. Their spiritual father was the devil, just like every unsaved man, every unsaved Gentile, the spiritual father is the devil. I was born into this world and my spiritual father was the devil until I was born again and then God became my father. So he says in John 8:34 right around there, he says, I know ye are the seed of Abraham. So he didn't deny that they were racial, physical Hebrew Jewish Israelites, but he absolutely went to the heart of their problem and saying, your father, your spiritual father is the devil, and thus you need to repent and to believe on me.
Eric, have you ever heard of a fellow by the name of Sabbatai Zvi in the 17th century?
Yes. Barry Chamish wrote a book on him.
Yes, exactly. The Sabbatian. Actually, when we speak of evil Jewish people, we're almost all, at least currently, we're almost always speaking of Sabbatian Jews. Who are the
I like the word Zionist, really, because...
And I use labor Zionist, because there are really five different kinds of Zionists.
Barry Chamish is an expressed Zionist himself, and although you won't agree with a lot of what he says, he's an honest person. He's not a manipulator.
And who's this?
Barry Chamish.
That's correct.
Charles just mentioned.
Yeah. And of course,
emails. Eric, how can you be reached?
You can reach me at eric@vaticanassassins.org.
Okay.
eric@vaticanassassins.org.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Charles, I'm at your site, but I don't see a contact or an email. Your Truth Hurts Radio?
It should be on there.
It is there? Okay, I'll find it. One thing that I have, and I had mentioned Richard John Newhouse before the Iraq War began, he gave some radio interviews, and this is one powerful guy. He could have probably stopped that war from happening. And he gave some radio interviews in favor of that war, clearly in favor of that war, which were, whether you do or don't like John Paul II, he did say it, at that time it was going to be an unjust war and it shouldn't be fought.
Well, that was his open policy.
This guy countermanded that in effect. I mean, he does it with typical doublespeak, and he is an incredible intellect. He is an intellect run amok. But,
yeah, they usually are.
I will send you the URLs for the download so that you can listen to this. It'll make you sick when you listen. I'll send it to both of you.
Yeah, that's truthhurtsradio@aol.com, and it's H-E-R-T-Z.
Got it.
But I would like to comment on that, and I'll be finished. But the papacy's open policy is to be against the Iraqi war. Its real policy is to conduct this inquisition against the Muslims that it really started with Napoleon Bonaparte. And it used the CIA, it used Edward Cardinal Egan, the most powerful archbishop in the United States. It used Edward Cardinal Egan controlling the American tongue or the American lange of the Knights of Malta in the person of George J. Tenet, CIA, DCI, Knight of Malta, CFR member, National Security Council member, who was the forerunner and the leader in the bringing down of the World Trade Center and the attack on the Pentagon so they could justify this crusade. It is a papal crusade completely backed by the Vatican in secret.
Actually, that's something I wanted to get to next. We can talk about that after the break. Thanks for your
call,
guys. Bob.
Thank you.
Yeah. And we'll be right back, folks, with Eric John Phelps. Mm-hmm.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Tired of those foolish games, whether they're played by governments, religions, the media, academia, you name it, getting hit by every conceivable angle with foolish games. Back on Truth Hurts Radio with Charlie Giuliani and our guest, Eric John Phelps, talking about the Jesuit Order. You know what, before we get into 9-11, and I definitely want to get into that, I quickly wanted to touch on Lincoln's assassination. We already talked about Kennedy's. But I understand there's actually some connections there, direct or indirect, with the Lincoln assassination. I don't recall if that's in your book.
Yes, I have that. I have the assassination of every American president by the Jesuit order, all 10 of them. And I cover Lincoln, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? You tie them all in with that?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, Lincoln was assassinated primarily because he refused to go along with the 14th Amendment. He refused to centralize power in Washington.
Right, strip states.
And as a result, and also that he wanted to admit the southern states back into the Union, the old Calvinistic, white Protestant federal union, he wanted to admit the southern states back in on the same footing that they had left. And the whole purpose for the war was to destroy the old Calvinist union, federal union, and establish a Jesuit empire in its place, of consolidated states that were really nothing more than provinces, subject to a center city in Washington, D.C. And Lincoln was completely against this. And so as a result, the Jesuits then assassinated him, and the chief overseer of the assassination was Bernardine F. Wiggett, who was a Jesuit of the Fourth Vow, the most powerful Jesuit in Washington, D.C., and he was the personal confessor for Mary Surratt, and John Surratt, and the Archbishop Spalding brought in John Wilkes Booth into the Roman Catholic Church 3 weeks before he was involved in the assassination. So the Jesuits most assuredly assassinated Lincoln, helped Surratt escape. 2 years later, he was arrested. He was in the Pope's Zouave Army. He was brought back. He was given two trials. Juries were hung, and he went free and died around in 1917. So when you're working for the Jesuit order, you are untouchable unless God intervenes. And this is why Bill Clinton is so bold and so brash. Bill and George Bush the same way. They're working for the order, and they are untouchable as long as they are obedient.
Clinton definitely has some Jesuit ties, I understand.
Oh, yes. He's a graduate from Jesuit Georgetown University.
Georgetown.
And intimately involved.
Is Brown?
A personal friend of Leo J. O'Donovan, who now is in Disney, and he was also a good friend of Carol Quigley, who was a personal dear friend of Edmund Walsh, who was a Knight of Malta and the founder of the School of Foreign Service at Georgetown. So Clinton is totally Jesuit-controlled, just like George Bush.
What about the Knights of Malta? Is that kind of a spinoff, would you say, of the Jesuits?
No, the Knights of Malta came into existence around 1099 as the real first Crusaders.
They're back even before the Jesuits, then.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They were called the Knights Hospitallers.
I'm sorry. No, not the Knights. My brain is not coordinating with my mouth here. Opus Dei is what I was...
Opus Dei, yes. Opus Dei was founded in 1928 in Spain, and it was founded by the Jesuit order secretly through José María Escrivá, and they are kind of a papal masonry of sorts. It's secret. It's really a secret society. They have huge financial holdings. They were involved in the Vatican Bank scandal.
Yeah.
And the Jesuits run Opus Dei. We can never forget that. Opus Dei is involved with Heritage Foundation. People from Heritage Foundation are often quoted on O'Reilly's O'Reilly Factor and so on.
So that literally is a spinoff of the Jesuit order, you would say.
That's correct. They are the henchmen, the lower levels of the Jesuits, and they confine themselves to places of finance, press, places of real political power.
Just a couple more things regarding Lincoln's assassination, then I want to jump into 9/11. But as many listeners probably know, Pope Pius IX was the pope at the time that Lincoln was in office. And in his encyclical letter of August 15, 1854, he made this incredible statement. He said, "The absurd and erroneous doctrines or ravings in defense of the liberty of conscience are a most pestilential error, a pest of all others most to be dreaded in a state." So we can see here the aversion that Pope had to this idea of freedom. You know, they hated this
country's
principles.
Absolutely, and you have the Syllabus of Errors of 1864, where they condemned freedom of speech, freedom of conscience. I mean, they condemned certain things that ought to be condemned, but they condemned freedom of conscience, freedom of speech, Protestantism. They condemned modern civilization, and that was all codified in Vatican I in 1870 when the Pope was declared to be infallible when he spoke
right.
at the cathedral. So, yes, they absolutely hate the concept of freedom of conscience because freedom of conscience was championed by the Protestant Reformation and thus condemned by the Jesuit Order's Council of Trent.
As a matter of fact, I have that quote right here in this same Pope, Pius IX, in his encyclical letter of December 8th, 1864, anathematized, in other words, declared you to be a heretic, if you asserted the liberty of conscience and of religious worship, and all such as maintained that the church may not employ force.
That's right. See, that's what Kennedy did. Kennedy went against that. And that was one of the 80 syllabus of errors that were put forth. And so when he did that, he brought upon himself his own condemnation. And by the way, in the syllabus of errors, fascism is defended. Fascism is the form of government that comports most with the Roman Catholic Church, according to the Jesuits and their La Civiltà Cattolica. So they openly bless fascism and they openly condemn communism, while at the same time they control both isms.
Incredible. All right, folks, stick with us. We've got another short break here. We'll be right back with Eric John Phelps.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Artificially Sweetened Times. I love that line. Fox is good at that. All right, back here on Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We have Eric John Phelps on as a guest. I just wanted to read one last quote from our good friend there, Pope Pius IX. This comes from a document he wrote called Quanta Cura, which, according to the infallibility dogma, which he came up with, he was speaking ex cathedra at this time, meaning he was speaking infallibly. He was not in error, nor could he be in error, and that no pope could ever declare this, these statements in this letter as erroneous. They are written in stone. This is absolute dogmatic truth here. And here's what he said. These false and perverse opinions of democracy and individual freedom are so much the more detestable by as much as they hinder and banish that salutary influence which the Catholic Church, by the institution and command of her divine author, meaning Christ, ought freely to exercise, even to the consummation of the world, not only over individual men, but nations, peoples, and sovereigns. In other words, only the Catholic Church is entitled to have freedom of expression or thought. No one else is entitled to this. And she can express that freedom over, express her authority over individuals and nations. This is absolutely incredible, but this is an official teaching of the Catholic Church.
That's right. Now do you understand why Hitler and all the Nazis and all the fascists condemn democracy? It comes straight from the syllabus. Now, I'm not talking about the Greco-Roman democracy that always ends in a military dictatorship. I'm talking about a democratic republic, which is what we're supposed to have. The papacy totally condemned it in that document, and that's why Hitler, and if you read his Mein Kampf, which was written by the Jesuits, Bernard Stemfel and others, they can totally condemn democracy.
Yeah. And there was Hitler entering into a concordat again with the Vatican.
First thing he did.
Yeah.
First thing he did.
It is. Yeah. And, you know, the people wonder, why didn't the Pope say anything about what was going on?
Because if you read La Popessa, you will see that it's a history of Pius XII's nun that lived with him some, 15 years or so. And she tells you that Hitler made a secret visit to Pacelli when he was the papal nuncio there to Bavaria and Munich. And Pacelli gave him a bag full of money and wished him well against the fight of communism. Pacelli is the creator of Adolf Hitler.
Well, while we're on the subject, briefly, before we go into the 9/11 thing, why don't we talk about the Vatican rat lines?
Why, yes. And that Irish Roman Catholic who was part of the Justice Department, John Loftus, he wrote a tremendous book called Unholy Trinity. Another title is called Rat Lines, but he absolutely proves that Pius XII and Bishop Udall working together to help top-level Nazis escape. And I show in my book that Walter Rauff, who was a high Nazi, worked intimately with specific Austrian Jesuits to evacuate high Nazi officers through the Brenner Pass into Italy and then off to South America or North America.
Yep, they snuck these people out under the guise of Catholic priests.
Right.
And to this day, you can actually go to some areas in Ecuador, Brazil, where they have German colonies, which are the offspring of these Nazi war criminals.
That's correct.
Unbelievable.
And then these Nazi war criminals were taken into the CIA, and J. Edgar Hoover also took many of them into the FBI.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because Hoover was Cardinal Spellman's boy. And
wait a minute.
Hoover, he was an apostate, Presbyterian, homosexual, 33rd degree Freemason, which shows you the connection between high-level Freemasonry and the Archbishop of New York.
But didn't John Ashcroft say that the FBI has a flawless record of upholding our rights and liberties?
Well, yeah.
Hey, did you know, this is a little interesting side note, just to show what a nut job Hoover was.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that he came home one day and some animal had defecated on his front doorstep? He was so enraged that any animal would have the audacity to do this, that he brought in some FBI forensics. And this cost, I don't know, like $100,000 of our tax-paying funds.
Mm-hmm.
And he had them test the fecal matter to see what kind of animal it came from. Then when they determined, I guess it was a raccoon or something, then they trapped several raccoons in his backyard, and they traced it to which one it was, and he had it shot.
Wow.
This is unbelievable.
This is terrible. He's another joke. Kennedy assassin, covered up evidence, attacked and cajoled witnesses, just a horrible, evil, wicked man, and kept in power by the Jesuit order, their ruler from Georgetown University, controlling Washington, D.C.
And he ran the CIA for the first, FBI for the first 40-plus years of its history.
Nearly 50 years. Nearly 50 years. And, of course, the Bureau of Investigation was created by that evil 33rd-degree Freemason, Theodore Roosevelt, using the grandnephew of Napoleon Bonaparte, Charles Joseph Bonaparte, who was another papal knight. So it was the FBI was the Jesuit Inquisition extended into the United States in 1908.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, coming up to more recent times now, 9/11, what connections do you have with that, with the Jesuits?
Well, the most important connections are remembering that a Jesuit educational institution is openly supposed to be one of charity and doing good and raising the intellect of the community of the country, but its real purpose is a military fortress. And that is exactly what Fordham University is. It is a military fortress overseeing the politics of New York City, controlling all the intelligence agencies of the country, as well as the mafia. And the Fordham University Jesuits, particularly Avery Cardinal Dulles and Joseph A. O'Hare, who is a presider of the Council on Foreign Relations, a former president of Fordham, and a fourth-degree Jesuit, they are the ones that oversee the Archbishop of New York. Thus, they oversaw Archbishop Edward Cardinal Egan, who is a master of canon law and a great defender of the Pope's temporal power, and thus overseeing Egan. Egan's soldiers were then the Knights of Malta.
And there was J. Edgar, coming back to him, denying during those 40-plus years of being the head of the FBI, denying that there was a mafia.
That's
there was
right,
no investigation of them.
Right, because if you read Kurt Gentry's great work, J. Edgar Hoover, The Man in the Secrets, he shows you that J. Edgar Hoover was on the take and had a secret deal with Costello and Luciano and the others. They were all working together as they do now.
Boy, what a happy little family.
And if you read, what's the one, Double Cross by Sam Giancana and Chuck Giancana, they show that not only the FBI works with the mafia, but so does the CIA. So they're all working together and thus subject to the Archbishop of New York, because the five mafia heads was the New York Commission. And so who were they subject to? The Archbishop. At that time was Cardinal Spellman. Now it's Egan. And so the Jesuits in controlling Egan. Egan controlled the Knights of Malta. The Knights of Malta controlled the National Security Council, the Central Intelligence Agency, and the FBI through Opus Dei and other Papal Knights, and brought about 9/11, deliberately brought those buildings down, including Rudolph Giuliani. Giuliani's involved in
this. I was just going to ask you about him.
Sorry
yeah.
about that, Charles, but yeah, hopefully he's no relation, but he's involved in this too.
not that I know of.
And so now they have their crusade not only against Islam, but against the American people and our historic Protestant and Baptist rights secured in 1787.
With a name like a Giuliani, a mafioso name, does he have any connections with, any Jesuit ties?
Rudolph Giuliani is a Knight of Malta.
Oh, he is? Okay.
Uh-huh. Oh,
yeah. Isn't that interesting?
And because of his obedience in 9/11, they have now put him forth as a presidential candidate.
Isn't that scary?
Mm-hmm.
And he's touting, you know, the hero that he was on 9/11. Yeah, some hero.
That's right.
Protecting the real perpetrators of it.
That's right.
That's Rudolph all he Giuliani brought up in the debates.
Rudolph Giuliani is intimately involved with the Russian mafia. And
what are you going to do about the wide-open border, Mr. Giuliani? Terrorism! Terrorism! That's all that came out of his mouth. It's just disgusting.
Right. And, of course, he doesn't want to say that my master in New York has told me that we want as many of these Mexican Roman Catholics to come into this country as possible so we can Catholicize our southern borders, in fact, as much of the country as possible, so that they will be voters and at the abject hue and cry and call of the Roman hierarchy in this country. That's why McCarrick of Washington, D.C. is completely behind this alien invasion.
You know, I can never understand the loyalties of people in Mesoamerica, South America, to the Catholic Church. Some of the most diehard Catholics in the world are down there. And, I mean, this is an institution that has raped and pillaged their
ancestors. And pillaged them. That's why they're poverty-stricken. You don't find any Roman Catholic country in Central or South Mexico, all the way to the tip, that has any true middle class. The middle class and private wealth is always a result of the Protestant Reformation and a people reading the Bible in their country. The same holds true for Poland. That's poverty-stricken. Spain, Portugal, Italy, they've all been all poverty-stricken nations. Why? Because the Bible was torn out of their hands by the hierarchy, and they were kept down and made to be subservient to the papacy, and thus they were never allowed to prosper in invention, arts, the creation of new knowledge. They were always kept down.
But Dick Van Impey assures us that the Pope is a good man, a great Christian leader.
Okay, the Jesuits are using their Protestant leaders to preach this crusade.
That guy's a fraud.
You will not find one of them, Charles, that is against this. From Hagee to Jack Van Ampey to Jerry Falwell, all those papal slaves are advocating the crusade that the Pope really wants. But you have
Catholics. Pat Roberts, Ian. He's a man of God.
Who's this?
Pat Robertson.
Pat Robertson is intimately associated with the Knights of Malta. He named his children, he named J. Peter Grace, the head of the Knights of Malta in the 70s and 80s, the godfather of his children.
Oh, heavens.
Yeah.
What a surprise.
And Jeremiah Denton, who was a senator from Alabama, I believe, Georgia, Alabama, he's a Knight of Malta, and he was intimately involved with Pat Robertson's production.
Well, Eric, you just ruined my day. Pat Robertson, I'm going to have to take his picture off my wall now. I was a big fan. Gee, I just sent a big contribution in yesterday to someone.
Oh, no.
No, I'm kidding. Oh, that guy is disgusting. Yeah. Did you hear about his little gold mine deal down in South Africa there back in 94? He was calling on people to send donations in for the Rwanda relief effort. And all the money he collected, millions of dollars, Oh, he sent it to Africa, all right. He purchased a diamond mine, or a gold, was it? No, I think it was a diamond mine, that's what it was. Yeah, he got a hot tip from Daddy Bush. He grew up, of course, down the street from Daddy Bush. They were childhood friends. He gave him a hot tip on a diamond mine. He'd recently purchased one, too, down the street. So that's what he did with the money. He bought, you know, in fact, who brought that out was Greg Palast.
Is that right? Well, I believe it, because he is a right-wing, white, fascist agitator, and he is being used by the Vatican to unite white people, Catholic and Protestant alike, into this right-wing fascism that's being promoted by Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, and others. Meanwhile, while the Jesuits are also in control of the black fascists, the black Masonic fascists like Jesse Jackson, who's CFR, like Al Sharpton, and like Louis Farrakhan. They're all polarizing. They're both fascists to create a race war, creating a civil war like it's being demonstrated on that program Jericho on every Wednesday night, so that then the Jesuits can institute their martial law and have their military dictator.
I got to tell you, who did disappoint me was Billy Graham. Growing up as a kid, I always did respect the man. I thought he was honest and sincere, and I think he was initially anyway. But, boy, is he off the deep end now.
You know, he was backed by Henry Luce. Henry Luce was a Kennedy assassin. He controlled Time Life. He bought the Zapruder film for $150,000. He was backed by Bernard Baruch.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, Graham's been
dirty
from
the beginning.
And Bernard Baruch was the right hand man of Knight of Malta, head of one of the most powerful knights on the stock exchange, John T. Ryan.
Well, you know, it shouldn't be surprising. You don't get to climb high up on that ladder unless you're already one of the club members.
Right. And so Billy Graham, Kathy Burns has written an excellent book on him called Billy Graham and His Friends, connected with a CFR, high-level 33rd degree Freemason. He, according to Jim Shaw, privately, when he told my friend David Daniels, and on his deathbed, he told, I think, his wife, that Billy Graham was the international evangelist, was there at the Order of the 33rd degree, the Supreme Council of the 33rd degree in Washington, when Jim Shaw was brought into that rite.
A lot of our listeners probably won't remember this name, but as a kid, my mother used to listen to this woman all the time or watch her on TV. In fact, as a kid, we went to one of her crusades. Catherine Kuhlman.
Catherine Kuhlman.
And what a shock when I was reading. I think it was Alberto Rivera that brought
right.
that out, her Jesuit ties.
That's right. Totally controlled by the Vatican. Mm-hmm.
That soothing voice was so hypnotic.
Yeah.
Oh, brother. These people are just absolute scary thugs.
They have many, many bows and many strings to their bow, and we have to constantly be vigilant as to what's their real intent.
Now, what do we make of John Paul II's claim that the Jesuits were out of control and he wanted to bring them back under his control? They were
utter nonsense.
A loose cannon. It's just public propaganda.
Public propaganda. He knows very good and well that if he would have resisted Pedro Arrupe, it would be curtains, because that's what happened to John Paul I. John Paul I wanted to relieve Jesuit General Arrupe of his command. And so that was the end of him. You don't resist the Jesuit General and live as a pope, because they refuse.
Oh, yeah.
They will not allow the Jesuit order to be suppressed again as they were in 1773.
Yeah, he wanted to clean up the Vatican Bank. He wanted to limit his pontificate to just handling internal affairs and not get stuck.
He was going after the pedophile ring. He was going after the pedophile ring, and he had, according to my friend Jim Rothstein, who was a Roman Catholic a New York police detective for many years, he said that Pope John Paul I had commissioned Father Bruce Ritter, who was a priest in New York City, to go after the pedophile ring. And when it led to Cardinal Spellman as the master of it all, they then ruined and destroyed the priest, Father Bruce Ritter, and he died a broken man.
Jeez. Oh, boy, I tell you. And again, I want to stress, you know, we're not Catholic bashing, quote unquote. It has nothing to do with Catholic people. This is the corrupt institution. Protestant church is the same way. Corrupt at the top.
Right.
Just absolutely sold out. These people have no interest whatsoever in spiritual matters. They're interested in fattening their wallets. That's all it is.
Because both institutions do not read the Word of God, the Reformation Bible, the AV 1611, or the Geneva Bible, and they do not consider the Bible the final authority of faith and practice in all matters. And so, therefore, because of that, they've been completely absorbed into the devil's world empire of having a world government with a world religion to be centered in Jerusalem, the Pope's Kingdom of Jerusalem, ultimately during the last half of the 70th week of Daniel.
Well, you know, here's a big irony. Pat Robertson wrote what I considered a good book. In fact, it is a good book, called The New World Order back in, I think it was 1990. Mm-hmm. He laid the whole thing out, you know, the Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations. But yet here he is now. You know, obviously that's another deceptive tactic, isn't it, to make it look like he's on our side, he's against
that's
the
right.
New World Order. But yet he's standing for it, so you won't be suspicious of Bush, who's been the biggest servant of the New World Order ever to occupy the
White
House.
That's right. Absolutely right. The purpose of these Protestant evangelists is to back the crusade of this Protestant George Bush, who is secretly controlled by the Archbishop of New York. And Robertson knows this, and they will never tell you.
And here he is with his Christian coalition, rallying Christians to actually support the very thing that they're led to believe they're standing against.
That's
unbelievable,
right.
Folks. It's all about deception. We'll be right back here on Truth Hurts Radio.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
We're back here for a few more minutes with our guest, Eric John Phelps. Boy, the 2 hours really cooks by here. We could go another two, three, four more hours and probably not even scratch the surface, couldn't we? It's just one big rat's nest.
Mm-hmm, yes, we could.
It's a bottomless pit. You know, that's interesting. I hadn't really thought of 9/11 as a frame-up of Muslims to amount to a continuation of the Crusades, but that's a very good point.
Absolutely.
Never thought of it that way.
James Jesus Angleton, who was a Knight of Malta, who was intimately involved with the Rat Lions, and just a horrible, evil, wicked individual that betrayed many CIA agents to their death He called for a crusade against Islam in the 1970s, early 1970s, and this is complete agreement with the Jesuits, Francis Xavier, who said, quote, "Give me a world without Muslims and without Jews," unquote. Remembering also that Loyola founded the Jesuits first and foremost, according to Wiley, James J. Wiley's work, The History of Protestantism, to take Jerusalem from the Muslims. That's why he made his trip to Jerusalem before he really set up the order.
And then, you know, here's people who say, well, that's ridiculous. You know, why would this Jewish group go against Jews? But the truth is, you go to, you know, websites like JewsAgainstZionism.com, and they'll tell you that Zionism is the greatest enemy of Judaism.
Yeah, labor Zionism. I call it Masonic Jewish labor Zionists.
Yeah, right.
Of course, they hate. They do not believe the Bible. They do not believe the Torah. But they are Masonic. That's why. See, it's Luciferian. They worship
right.
Lucifer, and thus they're subject to the Jesuits. And that's why you had these Masonic Jewish labor Zionists working with the Jesuit order and the Nazis to carry out the Eurasian Jewish Holocaust during World War II, especially as documented in Ben Heck's work, Perfidy, the 400,000 Jews sent to Auschwitz from Hungary.
Jeez.
Rudolf Kastner worked with SS Colonel Kurt Becker and SS Colonel Adolf Eichmann in allowing only about 1,700 Jews to escape Hungary and sent in excess of 400,000 to Auschwitz. And that's why Rudolf Kastner was accused of Pamphlet 51 by Greenwald in the 1950s, and that would have overthrown Ben-Gurion's government, because then it would have been obvious that Ben-Gurion was run by the Vatican, the Knights of Malta, men like Louis or Bloomfield.
He was a piece of work.
Yeah, and so what happened? The Jesuit general decreed that Adolf Eichmann, who was a nominal Protestant, be sacrificed so that the Ben-Gurion government could be saved.
So to look ahead in the future, do you see this emerging sort of blend between New Agey kind of occultism and basically all the world religions coming together? I remember when Robert Mueller, I don't think it's the same Robert Mueller that's head of the FBI now, but this guy was the deputy secretary general of the UN. He called for the Pope to come to the UN and speak to all the world religious leaders to unite them, and he did in 1995. He called for all religious leaders to unite together under one banner and
Under the Pope, exactly. And so, so as a result of that, remember the papacy has always wanted the unification of every nation and all religions under the Pope. And so there's nothing that they won't do, even recant that they had the Inquisition, the Crusades, and the Eurasian Jewish Holocaust. So they will do it all to just get everybody back into the fold of Rome, because Rome shares power with no one. That's what's so bad about this sharing of power in Northern Ireland right now with this great treason of Ian Paisley. Jerry Adams, they're going to control everything. But no, yes, the New Age movement was founded. Really, the great impetus was a Jesuit, Teilhard de Chardin.
I tell you, I want to thank you again for coming on. Unfortunately, we're at the end of the show. You want to just quickly plug your website?
Yes, my website is www.vaticanassassins.org, and my book is available on CD for 40 Federal Reserve notes plus 5 shipping and 1,836 pages with over 700 pictures, and I think it would be very good, enjoyable reading for your listeners.
All right, thanks again for joining us. We'll have you on again sometime.
Pleasure to be with you, Charles.
Okay, folks, tomorrow, Jim Fetzer. We're going to be talking about the Kennedy assassination and the recent release of the E. Howard Hunt tape. We'll see you tomorrow.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado,